This episode is sponsored by Analog Devices, partners of the Manufacturer Podcast.
Today on the Manufacturer Podcast, Willy Wonka turns Tommy Plonker as I'm covered in PPE and sent to a chocolate factory. Hear our feature at JJA Snack in Barnsley, who have teamed up with Siemens to show young people the wonderful world of chocolate making and all the clever tech that goes into the process. There's all that and more to come in today's episode. Hello, listener. Happy Friday once again. Thank you for joining us for this fifth episode of our Digital Transformation series, sponsored by Analog Devices. Joe and James return in the three-bottomed presenter's chair that has become the podcast presenter's seat. Hello, chaps.
Hi, Tom.
Good morning, Tom.
How are we doing?
Very well.
Myself and James are on the verge of going on holiday, so we're very chipper.
Oh, yeah, cool, yeah, you are, yeah, leaving me alone. Something really funny happened at the start of the week. My mate sent me a voice note on WhatsApp, and it just said, Gawangtanga! Gawangtanga!
I'm gonna get t-shirts made for Smart Manufacturing and Engineering Week, and we can do our live podcast with Gawanganga t-shirts on.
Gawangtanga.
If no one knows what we're talking about, then listen to the episode before this, because it's getting some traction as well. I've got mates that found that really funny. Yeah, listen to it. Anyway, we've got this episode to focus on now. Chocolate. Everyone likes a bit of chocolate.
I've not got much of a sweet tooth, I've got to be honest. At the end of a meal, I would always lean towards the cheese and biscuits rather than any sort of sickly sweet chocolate pudding.
Oh, chocolate pudding, fine. But like a bar of chocolate, like, no, doesn't tickle you.
On occasions, but it's, if you're talking sort of like quick snack, I would lean towards a packet of crisps.
I remember one time being out for lunch with you, and we got taken out for lunch, and you ordered a starter for a dessert. It was incredible.
Our illustrious leader, Mr. Henry Anson, got me onto that idea.
I've never seen the like. It was.
I can't believe I'd never thought of it before. I think it's absolutely genius.
What was the starter?
Oh, I can't remember now. But it was savoury. It was just going back to savoury than going sweet, because I can never decide what starter to have, because I think it's always the best part of the meal. So having two starters rather than a starter and a pudding, I think, has just revolutionised my whole life.
Boys, I need to bring it back to because I just shouted chocolate, and if nobody was listening to the intro, then they don't know why. Yeah, I've just shouted chocolate. Yeah, but JJA Snack unveiled their new factory in Barnsley last week, and we got a tip off about this. Well, in fact, Joe, you got a tip off about it from Brian Holiday of Siemens. He was there. He was at the factory because this project is being done between Siemens and JJA Pack, who make wrapping and filling machines mainly for the chocolate sector. JJA Snack is the project, the specific educational initiative to inspire kids and teach them about the wonderful tech-driven world of chocolate making. Have a listen to this feature. This was a fun one to do. I'd never been to a chocolate factory before. I wasn't expecting it to be like the actual Willy Wonka factory, but I was expecting it to be better than the god-awful thing that got put on in a warehouse in Glasgow a few weeks ago, which charged 35 quid a ticket and made children cry. Thankfully, it was way better than that. JJA Snack have a new facility in Barnsley, which I found eventually after getting a bit lost. And once I'd popped on some positively preposterous PPE, I was welcomed in with open arms.
My name's Jamie Ashpole. I'm the managing director of JJA Pack, JJA Snack, and JJA Track.
JJA Pack and Snack do the chocolate making. JJA Track service for wider food and bev industry, as well as for petrochemical and rail industries.
Today is the grand opening of JJA Snack. It's a project that is to try and inspire the next generation of engineers from key stage to right the way through to university students.
Could I just get your name?
Danny.
And how old are you, Danny?
13.
Can you tell us why you're here today?
I'm here because I've been helping with JGA Schneid get everything ready for the opening, getting the machines ready, showing people how to make or mould the chocolate and empty it.
Is it something you're hoping to go into in the future?
Hopefully, get into this and inspire more kids to do this when I'm older.
So what is it that interests you so much about chocolate making?
Well, it has to be getting to the end and eating the chocolate. That's probably the best part.
We've created a project that we send to schools, initially Key Stage 2 and 3, where the children will learn where chocolate is grown, how it's harvested, how it's transported to the UK, and then turn from cocoa beans through to a final chocolate product. The kids will also learn the marketing piece, where they'll actually design the bar themselves, and then the stem part of it, where they'll actually create designs. We'll create a mould based on that, and then they'll come here and make it.
What's really cool for the young people that come here for hands-on experience is that the technology used at the JJA snack facility is the exact same as you'd find at a big company. It's just done on a smaller scale.
The technology is tempering right the way through to the cooling side of things. But what we're also doing using Siemens Insight technology is to monitor the equipment 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And the schools will actually be able to dial into our network and actually see the equipment in real time at any time during the course of the project.
Oh yeah, very important not to forget Siemens in all of this. JJA Pack and Siemens have worked together for about a decade now. Brian Holliday, Managing Director of Siemens Digital Industries, was at the factory.
One in three machines, you know, worldwide features one of our control systems. And we have this sort of sense of responsibility, I think, to sort of think about the next generation, the talent that's coming through that we so, you know, urgently need in so many countries around the world to get hands-on technology. So not only can kids come along and get involved in, you know, forming chocolate, putting it through the tempera, putting it, you know, seeing the cooling cycles and understanding the engineering behind that, but they can equally be remote and get a sense of what's going on through an AI insight to the factory as well.
One of many things that we learned from this trip is that cocoa is more expensive than ever. Remember the big chocolate river from Willy Wonka that they just casually take everyone on a weird trip down? Yeah, that wouldn't happen. Sheer folly. Everyone in the real world of chocolate is trying to cut their costs.
In any chocolate product, be it a molded chocolate bar or a chocolate-covered biscuit, chocolate is always the most expensive ingredient. So people are looking to reduce downtime, reduce costs and wasted chocolate. So what JJA Track and Pack are trying to do using insights is to create trends, predict failure, predict faults, and hopefully reduce line downtime.
What we'll be able to do more of with technology like this is build digital twins. So here is a physical factory, but actually what we want to do is work with Underwoods and JJA Snack, one of the other sponsors along with JJA Snack, to give projects to students who can build a digital twin of the factory or perhaps run a digital twin alongside the physical factory to really see the benefits of, you know, designing and developing in the virtual world, but seeing a real world outcome.
I'll give Brian the final word in this feature because we agree with him. This is a product that's loved the world over, and this is manufacturing. So let's take the example of JJA Snack and start showing people.
Chocolate is universal. It's got a universal appeal. It's, you know, it's so very inclusive in that regard. But what it does is it gets around the normal issue that I believe we face in manufacturing and engineering, which is a little bit of an image problem. And it's a problem for kids, for, you know, parents, teachers, and educators. And you know, we've found when we've looked at this as Siemens, you know, you've got to start early if you're going to inspire before actually you get some of the, you know, the bias that creeps in, a perception of what, you know, people think manufacturing is. So I think starting with chocolate, something where I think all of us, you know, kids of all ages, have got a natural curiosity about, well, where does cocoa come from? How's it formed in a factory? How can you, you know, what are the various processes that might be involved in making a white or a dark chocolate? You know, the cooling process and packing process. So I think just helping kids be you know, tap into their natural curiosity, but then actually use that as an opportunity to have perhaps a very different conversation.
Thanks to the guys at JJA Snack and Brian for catching up with us. Like I say, really fantastic story. More to come on it as well, I would imagine. So keep a lookout across our content channels. This episode is sponsored by Analog Devices. Analog Devices is a global technology leader that bridges the physical and digital worlds to enable breakthroughs at the intelligent edge. With their complete portfolio of innovative solutions, ADI can resolve your most complex industrial challenges. They'll empower you to increase productivity on factory floors, enable personalized output with flexible manufacturing, and benefit from insights that reduce material and energy costs. As a trusted advisor, ADI works hand in hand with their customers to co-create easily adopted solutions, enable digital transformation, and build a more sustainable industrial future. ADI ensures today's manufacturing innovators stay ahead of what's possible. To find out more about ADI's technology, visit analog.com.
Hello, listener. Just a quick one. Are you coming to the Smart Manufacturing and Engineering Week in Birmingham this year? Because you should be. Not least because we've got our Manufacturing Digitalization Summit, which is in its fourth year now. It's running on the 5th and 6th of June, and it will focus on the application of digital technologies that are enhancing the processes, efficiencies, and outcomes of the manufacturing industry.
You get quite a broad range of manufacturing sectors, and some are ahead of the curve and some are just starting.
It's just fantastic to see everybody together, really working together and sharing ideas and knowledge, and that's how we're genuinely going to transform the industry.
Across the same 2 days and back for its seventh year, we've got our Industrial Data and AI Summit. This is specifically for analysts, scientists, and other data professionals. This summit drills down beyond digital transformation and dashboards to topics of greater intellectual challenge, depth, and focus.
Take off the sort of the technical language and all of the legalese that might associate with this and say, how are you dealing with this in your own business?
It's quite nice to know you're not alone, that you're not the only person having that challenge or coming up against that barrier or that obstacle.
Both summits will run in our usual roundtable discussion sessions format, which allows you to share pain points, experiences, and even explore solutions with one another. So get yourself to the NEC in Birmingham on the 5th and 6th of June. Book your place by visiting themanufacturer.com/events. That's themanufacturer.com/events.
Time for a look at some of the headlines on the manufacturer website. One in three businesses say cybersecurity has dropped as a priority. This is interesting, right? So cybercrime is estimated to cost the UK economy £27 billion per annum, with businesses bearing a total estimated loss of £21 billion per year. That's according to recent data. Despite this, one in three businesses has reportedly dropped cybersecurity as a high priority, and only 42% of medium-sized businesses have a firm cybersecurity strategy in place. As the manufacturing industry continues to be one of the top targets of cybercrime, Neil Matthews, managing director of leading spring and presswork manufacturer MSP, warned that deprioritizing cybersecurity protocols leaves manufacturers vulnerable in this fast-paced era of digitalization. And he's dead right. Go and read that article. But this is something that we've been talking about recently, and it came up in our recent manufacturing to marketers event, which happened earlier in the week.
Marketing to manufacturers.
Marketing to manufacturers, yeah. what did I say? Manufacturers to manufacturers or something.
Manufacturing to marketers.
but we were talking about it. We've been talking about it this week. While manufacturers are, you know, connecting devices here, there, and everywhere, and bugging stuff into the cloud, they're not really. They don't seem overly bothered about how they're protecting that. It's a problem, right? It's a problem. Manufacturing now the most targeted area for cyber criminals, which is wild.
Yeah. That was revealed last year. I think the most worrying trend that seems to be emerging is that the rate at which cyber criminals are attacking manufacturing, and the rate at which cybersecurity is moving down the manufacturing priority list, they're essentially moving in different directions, it seems. So cyber attacks seem to be very much on the increase, but yet. Cybersecurity as a manufacturing priority seems to be dropping, and it's a worry. I attended an event last week where a chap called Victor Lowe from Schneider Electric was talking about the rise of sort of regulation and the emerging dangers of ransomware. You know, sort of commenting like the ransomware is like literally rivaling the narcotics industry, for want of a better word, in inverted commas, in terms of how much profit it's reaping in for malicious actors. Because of course, there's, unlike narcotics, I guess, sticking a bit of ransomware out there is just there's no overheads. These oiks can do it from the comfort of their own bedroom basement. They've got no flunkies to pay off or anything like that. They can do it all themselves, right? So it's just all profit to be made.
Yeah,
I think I can't remember what our manufacturing report revealed, but I think it was 1% of manufacturers have cited cybersecurity as their key challenge in 2024, which I suppose in context, yes, there's lots of other challenges going on around manufacturing, but I think cybersecurity needs to be a bit more front and centre than it is.
And yet we've also got another story on the website right now, quite timely as well, linked to this. 3/4 of manufacturers admit that their cybersecurity provider is either underperforming and they're looking to make changes, or there's room for improvement. So while we're saying it's not necessarily high on the priorities list, compounding that is also the fact that manufacturers realize that their current cybersecurity offering is below par.
Yeah,
which is terrible, really.
I suppose there's a bit more insight around that, isn't there, JD? Because presumably you're not going to know if your cybersecurity offering is underperforming unless you get attacked, right? And it doesn't stand up to what it's supposed to be doing. So
it's a massive cliche, and we hear it all the time. But it particularly for manufacturers, it's never been truer. It's not if you'll get attacked; it's when. Yeah. And that stands for everything from big companies to smaller ones.
And prevention is a lot better than cure. Again, the chap from Schneider last week said that typically following a breach, following an attack, a manufacturer would continue to operate suboptimally for at least the next 3 months, which, you know, has potentially huge impact on the bottom line. It's not just, we've been attacked, we'll pay the ransomware, we'll do the patch, we'll fix it, we're back up and running. It has significant lasting effects on the efficiency and productivity of the business,
as well as reputational damage.
As well, of course, that's a huge issue in its own right. Yeah,
I just want to make you aware, listener. I know we do work with cyber companies, so within our kind of vendor community, and we do have a security show that has a specific focus on cybersecurity. You know, we're not kind of pushing this as a bias. Like, this is a genuine problem that we're commenting on. And as James said, there's another article as well as the one that I've just spoken about that's up on the manufacturer website. Do take a look at it. It's a problem at the moment. Can I just direct your gaze towards another story within our, I think it's in our innovation section of the website. Pioneering self-driving shuttle arrives in Sunderland. This is cool because I used to go to uni in Sunderland, The city is set to embrace a new era of mobility with the arrival of the Sunderland Advanced Mobility Shuttle, SAMS. And this is, of course, our friends at Arrigo who are rolling this out, who featured in a previous episode of this series. It's marking a significant milestone in the city's journey towards self-driving transportation, as well as providing training opportunities and new cutting-edge skills. Look, I mean, I love Sunderland, but so I don't mean this as a slight, but this is the last city that I thought we'd find something like this as a kind of UK... Well, not necessarily UK first, but, you know, one of the cities that is kind of leading in terms of trialling this. The SAMS project will trial 3 self-driving zero-emission autonomous shuttles designed specifically for SAMS by Arrigo, as I've mentioned, which will transport passengers on public roads between Sunderland Interchange, the University of Sunderland City Campus, and the Sunderland Royal Hospital. Also, actually, I used to go to the St. Peter's campus in Sunderland, and that was driven by a friendly local. I was worried he might lose his job for this, but that he might still be driving that St. Peter's bus, which is nice for him. While the operators will always be on board, well, there we go, the project will develop and demonstrate a cyber-secure remote supervision protocol, an important step towards commercial deployment. Good story. Go check it out. Really interesting and great to see Arrigo, because they spoke to us a lot about that kind of back-end aviation support, but they do also have road vehicles, and that is also an important market for them. So it's good to see them with that UK trial in Sunderland. Really exciting stuff. Oh, also, chaps, it's probably worth mentioning the budget. We deliberately recorded this morning because we wanted to wait for yesterday's spring budget. We've got quite a bit of reaction on this as well, right, chaps?
Yeah, a lot of it positive as well. It was largely well received by the manufacturing community. Obviously, the sector had a big shot in the arm at the end of last year with the announcement of the Advanced Manufacturing Plan and $4.5 billion committed to the sector, and that's kind of been reinforced yesterday with a further $360 million invested in manufacturing and R&D. So that's going to be a particular bonus for automotive and aerospace.
And another key point as well, obviously we heard in November last year that full expensing became permanent for businesses. We also found out yesterday that leasing now applies to that as well. So companies subject to UK corporation tax can receive 100% first year tax deduction for expenditure they incur on qualifying plant or machinery. And that includes leased stuff now. So again, making it easier for manufacturers to invest, making it more competitive, and giving them an incentive, basically.
Plenty of reaction to the announcement yesterday. It's on our leadership section. It's an article titled "Manufacturers Give Their Reaction to the Latest Budget Announcement." Go give it a read.
Hello, listener. Hope you're enjoying the episode so far. Ollie Kay here from the sales team from the manufacturer. How would you like to sponsor one of our podcast series this year? The Manufacturer podcast goes out across all of your favourite streaming sites and saw a 58% increase in followers last year. We know the audience is out there, and with your company, we can create the content that entices them back for more. Be it world-class examples of sustainable manufacturing, insightful thought leadership from industry experts, or the innovative tech-driven solutions that are helping the industry realize its potential. We currently have a series available on the topics of people and skills, technology, and leadership. So contact sales_hg@19group.com. That's sales_hg@19group.com. We'd love to make you partners of the Manufacturer podcast.
All right, let's move on. It's time for Made by a Moron, or Gawang Tanga. Made by a Moron. I'll be honest, I don't have much to say this week, and I don't think we're going to top. And unless James, unless the Devonshires have bought some other
bit of tap.
Wacky bit of tap from from somewhere, then I've not got a great deal this week.
I've got one, and this is a recurring one because I had it happen when I was in Spain with Siemens, and I had it happen again when I was away for golf this weekend, and it happens regular. I'm going to say it: hotel room key cards.
Oh my god! Oh my god! Yes.
I don't have to say anything else, do I? You know exactly what I'm going to say. I don't have to say anything else. Just give us keys back. Do you know what I mean? I reckon I'm probably at a 50-50 hit rate in terms of whether my hotel room key card works or not.
Yeah.
Your room is on the seventh floor, sir, and a 10-minute walk down the infinite corridor that you're. The your room's at the end of, and then you get there, and it's just like,
Had it really bad in the Ibis when we were at Smart Manufacturing Week. Sorry, Manufacturing and Engineering Week last year. Nearly every single time I went to my room, the key card didn't work in Birmingham.
On arrival, I had it happen twice. So it went up, didn't work, went down, reset it, went up again, still didn't work. So it's three times a charm, I think, for me, Smart Manufacturing and Engineering Week last year. It's just... I don't know why they seem to be so temperamental. It's supposed to be technology. It's supposed to be progress, you know?
And it's always the thing of, you go to the personal reception. It's like, have you put it next to your phone? It's like, no, I deliberately carried it in my mouth so that it wouldn't touch my phone because I know that always happens. I had it so bad in Hamburg last year. I went on a friend's stag do and it was a hostel. And we arrived sort of middle of the day and our room wasn't ready till like, 3. So we just went drinking. And I think I'd had about 6 beers before even entering German airspace quite early in the morning. It was a Friday as well. I remember it had been a long week at work. So like I was kind of tired and I was just drunk. And it was like, and then obviously it was still quite early. So it was like, right, let's, get in our rooms and then let's like get changed and whatever. Like I must have like gone up last because like some other mates went up. So I got given my key card and I was like, tapping it and it just wouldn't work. So I was like, oh no. So then I went back down. I was like, don't think this works. And then I went back up, but obviously got a bit lost because like I was drunk. So I'm like wandering around like, where is it? Like, where is it? Like I'm lost. Tried it again. The key card again wouldn't work. I was like, this is ridiculous. So I'm like phoning people like, help, please help. Like I'm in so much trouble here.
Corridors of a hotel for all time.
It was horrible. And then I came down. Honestly, I came down a couple of hours later, and everyone was like, "Where the hell have you been?" Like, and I was like, "I've just been like haunting the corridors of this hostel."
I don't know where it falls down. Is it the technology behind the key cards? Is it the hotel staff not doing it properly? I just don't know why they are just so bad.
I always seem to get told that it's something to do with something else you've got in your wallet or something. So I always put a key card in my wallet and then they say it's like to do with your other cards or you put it next to a magnet or a phone.
Like I said earlier, yeah.
Bollocks.
But yeah, I don't know.
I think that's bollocks. Because I have the same thing with train tickets. Because obviously the train tickets have a magnetic strip that enables you to get through the barriers. That goes in my wallet and my wallet goes in the opposite pocket to my phone. So they are forever separate. And the same goes for hotel room key cards. So I make a conscious effort to never the twain shall meet, as it were.
Sometimes this does happen. Sometimes when it's like a little inserty one, like you insert it, pull it back out. Sometimes I get confused which way round you have to insert it. Sometimes. So a mixture of just a crap card that doesn't work and me that doesn't always work, it's a recipe for disaster.
I've just had quite a funny thought related to that, because as I say, I was away this weekend sharing a room with a mate for a couple of days golf, And he was sort of getting ready, and I was ready to go down for breakfast. So I just went, I said, I'll meet you down there. Not really thinking about it, I left the room, taking the key card out of its little slot as you go into the room, and then went for breakfast. But of course, for kind of like energy saving and things like that, 30 seconds later, there's no power in the room. So he's in the bathroom. I'm not going to tell you exactly what he was doing in the bathroom, but literally 30 seconds, he's just plunged into darkness. shout out to Paul Mannering. I do apologise, sir, for interrupting your ablutions on Monday morning. This, I think, is going to be the last podcast before we're back up to full strength, because the next episode we should be introducing our newest member to the manufacturer editorial team, Miss Molly Cooper.
Indeed. Yes, this podcast will be a little less male-dominated in a couple of weeks. Join us, not next week, but the week after, for the final episode of our Digital Transformation series. We sincerely hope to see you there. Until then, listener, stay safe, take care. Goodbye. Bash!
Come on, Danga.
This episode is sponsored by Analog Devices, partners of the Manufacturer Podcast.